Veterans Radio is dedicated to all the men and women who have served or are currently serving in the Armed Forces of the United States of America.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Bob Gould.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. We are here on the air January 21st, 2012. We're starting the new year off absolutely with a bang. Today's program is going to be about the VA and you. That's all of us. All of us military folks, we're all eligible for services rendered by the VA, and we're going to have a lot of information for you. So you may want to get a pencil, pen, crayon, whatever writing implement that you want to use, and copy down this information, not only for yourself, it may be for a relative, it may be for a neighbor. So we're going to be talking about the VA and you. And if you have any questions, then you're going to want to give us a call, 1-877-753-7825. That's 1-877-753-7825. So let's get started on this program. We've got a lot of information to be given to you. And joining me in the studio today, and he's got a tie on, too, folks. He's a Marine. Hoorah! There we are. I know those guys, Marines. I made the mistake one time of saying, well, you're an ex-Marine. Oh, I don't think I can sit down yet. This was a Marine Corps major, and I have two Marines in the studio with me today, and they're kind of smiling because this guy read me the riot. There's no such thing. They're all former Marines. And, okay. I've never forgotten that. With me today in the studio is Derek Atkinson. Derek Atkinson is a Marine Corps combat veteran of Operation Enduring Freedom there in Afghanistan. He's also the public affairs officer for the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. Welcome to Veterans Radio, Derek.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you very much for having us on today.
Why don't you give us a little bit of an overview of what is going on with the VA and the outreach now, 2012, to the military people.
Sure, Bob. The VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System consists of the medical center in Ann Arbor, and we also have some community-based outpatient clinics, one located in Flint, Jackson, and Toledo. So one of our main focuses this year is to get out into the community and just to let folks know about the VA and the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System.
So, well, are they going more to these clinics outside of the big hospitals? Is that what they're doing to deliver their services?
Sure. So it's really just based on where you live. So some folks that live up in Genesee County near the Flint area, they may not be able to, you know, they may not want to do the drive down to Ann Arbor. So then they have the opportunity to go to the Flint clinic. And if they need to come down to the Ann Arbor clinic, to the medical center, they can also come down for that. But we try to spread out into the community, and that's the whole reason behind the outpatient clinic. So folks don't have to travel as far to get the health care that they need.
Well, speaking of getting the health care that they need and programs, I'm looking at April Bartlett. Did I get that right, April?
Yes, sir.
Okay. April is the coordinator,
mm-hmm.
okay, of the Medical Foster Home Program. Wow, I want to hear all about that.
Sure. Thank you again for this opportunity to be here. I want to let veterans know about these services. Well, first, to kind of give a background to a program that ties into the Medical Foster Home Program is a program called Home-Based Primary Care. And that was a program that was originally established by the Department of Veteran Affairs.
And when was that established?
In 1970. So it's been around for quite some time. It's currently at 166 VA sites, including here in Ann Arbor. We have a team that's based out in Toledo as well. So our service area can go from 60 miles from Ann Arbor and 60 miles from Toledo. And our program here in Ann Arbor started in December of 2006. And
was it called the Medical Foster Home Program?
No, that's home-based primary care. So I'll get,
I'll tie that
into medical foster home in just a sec. So what home-based primary care does is it provides interdisciplinary home care, a home care team from the VA that consists of, nurses, social workers, there's a psychologist, a dietitian, a pharmacist, a recreation therapist, a rehab therapist, all who provide services and come into the home of the veteran and provide
them. But not custodial care.
No, not round the clock care.
Okay.
So what home-based primary care does, it provides services in the homes of the veterans traditionally to help provide them with care that just coming into the clinics for routine clinic-based care just doesn't seem to be enough for these particular veterans. So these are veterans with chronic, complex medical needs. They might be in and out of the hospital a lot, showing up at the urgent care a lot. So studies have shown and statistics can show that we've reduced, with home-based primary care, we've been able to reduce the number of hospitalizations and the number of urgent care visits by providing that care management, kind of being the eyes and ears of the veteran's physician or primary care provider. So our team here in Ann Arbor, and it may vary by location, by home-based primary care team, what the team composition is. But our team, again, is here based in Ann Arbor and in Toledo. And so I was the social worker for the home-based primary care team here in Ann Arbor when we first got started. And one of the things that we would see is a lot of veterans may not have caregivers. And going into their homes and providing these services just wasn't enough for some of them. At some point, they might have reached a point where they really need to have a live-in caregiver, someone taking care of them.
What if they need custodial care? Do you have outside services that you can refer these veterans
we
to?
We can. There are other home and community-based services that the VA can provide in the home, but it's, again, not round-the-clock care. It might be for a few hours to have a home health aide come in and provide services.
Mm-hmm.
One of the VA home-based primary care programs down in Little Rock, Arkansas, really saw the need to provide services round the clock for these veterans. So they thought that, perhaps finding caregivers in the community that would be willing to open up their homes to veterans, have the veterans come and live in the home of the caregiver, and provide that 24-hour care and supervision that the veteran needs. And that is, really to meet the needs of the disabled or aging veterans who need that care, that round-the-clock care. And it's meant to be an alternative, perhaps, for nursing home placement. So to give veterans an option to remain in the community, get the care they need at a fraction of the cost of what it would be for a nursing home placement.
And that's what it's all about, right, to keep the cost down, sure.
Keep costs down for the veteran, but just to provide that quality care, out in the community and to be in a non-institutional setting.
So if somebody has a home
mm-hmm.
and they want to open it up to veterans, the Medical Foster Home Program would allow them to have veterans live with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that has the home is, what, the coordinator? Or they provide the home and you also have a coordinator that's assigned to the veteran?
Well, the homeowner becomes the caregiver and the primary caregiver for the veterans. And it's not meant to be a large group home type setting. This is family home setting. So no more than three residents would be in the home receiving care, whether they're veterans or non-veterans. Because some of the homes, depending on state license requirements, you know, could be open to non-veterans as well that they're providing
care. So you have to be licensed for this, is that right?
Well, it depends on the state. Here in Michigan, the homes do need to be licensed as adult foster care homes. Down in Ohio, they don't, because as long as there's no more than three residents in the home, then we don't, you know, the state of Ohio doesn't require our homes to be licensed. But here in Michigan, they do. And so we are recruiting caregivers who would like to open up their home to have veterans come and live with them. The caregivers do go through a pretty rigorous background check. Their home actually gets inspected, has to be up to the current national fire and safety codes. You know, we just need it to be a really safe environment. And so once the caregiver's home gets approved to be a medical foster home, we will work on trying to find veterans who would be interested in living in the home and getting the care that they need there. And then the home-based primary care team that I mentioned earlier, they follow the veterans. As long as the veterans are living in the medical foster home, you have home-based primary care involved. So it's providing that additional level of support for the veteran and to give education and support to the caregiver.
Have you already had a home here in this area? Have you already had one get started, two, three?
Yep, we've got one home here for the Ann Arbor VA. We've got a home located in Adrian, Michigan. So if anyone out there is interested, please feel free to give our office a call. And this program is currently operating at 84 VA medical centers in 44 states.
So it is national.
It is a national program.
Okay, folks, you heard that. It's national.
It is. So right now it's being implemented at 84 VA medical centers in 44 states, but it's operational right now at 56 VA medical centers in 34 states, including here in Michigan. So not only are we at the Ann Arbor VA implementing the program right now, but the Detroit VA Medical Center and the Battle Creek VA Medical Center as well. And both of those programs have homes in their respective areas available for veterans as well.
I bet you're excited.
We are.
Yes.
We are. So.
Oh, what great idea. I like the idea of keeping them out of the hospital.
Exactly.
People die in the hospital. They get even sicker, actually. And you're giving them home base, so they have the feeling of being in a home.
Mm-hmm.
They have a feeling of being cared for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all part of it, I'm sure.
That's right.
The ambience, right?
Right, right. It's a home setting for just to give these veterans another option to consider for their long-term care needs.
Who does the dishes?
Well, the caregiver might. The veteran might want to help.
Just kidding. No, and I like this.
Yeah.
This has been done on a small basis throughout. I know of a couple of Vets Haven is one in Wayne, Michigan, but there's just so many Vets Havens that you could build, and that was the problem, is expanding. And now that they've reached out into the community and allowed folks that have a dwelling, a household, to have the veterans live with them.
Mm-hmm. And the tagline for the medical...
Do they also take the vet to their doctor appointments, et cetera?
Yes, the caregiver would be responsible for coordinating the, you know, getting them there.
And I'm sure the caregiver gets some remuneration.
They do. It actually is something that the veteran would pay for. They would pay the caregiver directly for the care that they're receiving. We will work with the veterans to help make sure, you know, if they're eligible for additional benefits to help supplement their own income, we might be able to help maximize, you know, their income. If they're eligible for veteran benefits, we can help them apply for that.
So being ambulatory would probably have something to do with this. You, as far as wheelchair people, et cetera.
Yeah, it depends on the home. You know, if it's been approved as a wheelchair accessible home, then it could serve the need.
Will you fix that? Will the VA make it wheelchair accessible?
Well, we can work with the individual veteran and the caregiver. The veterans could potentially utilize their access to a grant called a HISA grant. It's a Home Improvement Structural Altercation Grant. If they haven't ever used it before in their own home and the veteran chooses to use that grant at this medical foster home, they certainly could, so that things could be done to make it a little more wheelchair accessible. However, there may not be a need to do structural modifications, but the VA can provide at no cost to the veteran durable medical equipment such as ramps, you know, a ramp to be installed on the home, and any other medical equipment they may need in the home. We will do assessments with the veteran prior to move-in to find out what they need, and we want to get those items in place prior to the day of move-in.
Well, folks, you heard it. This is about the medical foster home program. Now, I know we couldn't cover this in just the 10 minutes that we've allocated, but if you have any questions regarding, well, first of all, if it is this morning, you can give us a call at 1-877-753-7825. That's 877-753-7825. April, you've got about 1 minute. What would you like to say in closing?
Sure. Though the tagline for the medical foster home program is "Where heroes meet angels," so we're really looking for angels, caregivers who could be veterans themselves, actually, who would like to open up their home and provide for the needs of our heroes. And if you have any questions, want to get connected to a medical foster home program in your area, if it's available, you can call our office at the VA in Ann Arbor at 734-222-4269.
Okay, I'm getting a little note here. 877-573. 573-7825. That's it, 573-7825. Thank you very much for being a guest here on Veterans Radio, and good luck with your program. You're welcome to give us an update anytime. Please do.
Thank you.
And I want to stay on top of this, too. I'm all for helping the veterans. How about that, Derek?
Yeah, it's great, Bob. It's just one of the many programs that we have going on at the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. April does an excellent job of getting out there, meeting the veterans where they're at, and that helps accomplish our mission, which is to honor America's veterans.
How do you keep track of all this?
It's challenging sometimes. There's just so much stuff going on.
There's so much stuff in front of me here. I got papers everywhere to cover all this, yes.
Yeah, and you know, one of the big pushes from National right now is this push to get veterans into permanent housing. You know, Secretary Shinseki, he put forth a goal in 2010 to end veteran homelessness by 2014. And next up, we're going to have
they call that a segue in the business, as we're going to be speaking with right now. I'm looking here for my homeless. Yes, okay. Healthcare for homeless veterans. And I have with me on the line someone who coordinates that. Tell us who that is, Derek, real quick.
Sure. So our healthcare for homeless veterans coordinator is Ms. Shawn Dowling.
Okay, there we go, Shawn Dowling. All right, and she's on line one. There you go. Shawn, welcome to Veterans Radio. How are we doing? Can we bump that up a little bit? Well, let's go on with our next guest, Dave. And you are the transportation guy.
That's right. That's right. Veterans Transportation Service.
Why don't you give us a little overview on that?
Okay. Veterans Transportation Service, VTS, is a national, well, it's a pilot program. We're one of the four original sites. And what that does is it's designed to offer free transportation to veterans and improving their access to care. Veterans that live in remote areas or areas that are underserviced with public transportation, we can get them in free of charge to the hospital for their scheduled medical appointment.
And don't we already have that?
We do to some degree, but this is... targeted more towards heavily populated groups of veterans, where they live geographically.
Okay. Would you have a van?
Right. What we have is three 16-passenger shuttle buses, which can also accommodate two wheelchairs. We could bring in service animals, oxygen, stretchers. We can we have two stretcher vans. We could we can accommodate those, and we also have two additional 4-passenger vans that can also accommodate one wheelchair.
Now, it says here that this is a pilot program. Is this going to be repeated throughout the country?
Well, that's what they're looking at. They're collecting the data and the metrics from our program and to try to find the best fit on a national level. Where can we tweak the program? Where can we make this work better? How can we improve it? And then unroll it further from there.
How long have you been working on that here in this area?
May of 2011 was when we started it here in the Ann Arbor area.
And
it's...
Are you busy?
We're busy. We're very busy. Since that time, we've moved... we've conducted 9,000 trips, over 9,000 trips for veterans to and from the hospital for their scheduled medical appointment. So a lot of people getting moved into access to care. It's a good thing.
Who drives the vans?
Almost all the drivers are veterans themselves, so there's a lot of good conversation going on in the bus, a lot of camaraderie.
I'll bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what do they do? What would a veteran do now to find out if that's available for them?
All they have to do is call. Call me. Call me.
No. We're talking about if you're in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
There is a national number that's going to be unrolled. I don't have that yet.
Okay, that's not available.
Yeah, they can check with their local VA medical center. Ask them if what transportation resources do you have? Is there a veterans transportation program here available at this hospital?
And who pays for all this?
This comes out of the VA national budget right now at this time.
Okay, so the veteran does not pay.
No, for absolutely free for the veteran. The veteran can bring a caretaker. That's free of charge. No cost at all.
And this is for primary care, coming to the facility to have primary care.
Primary care, cardiology, any scheduled medical appointment, the veteran is eligible to use this service for access to care.
Okay, and the only criteria for eligibility is...
that you're a veteran.
And that you have a bona fide appointment,
yep,
right?
Yep, scheduled medical appointment and you're a veteran. That is it.
Is there anything that you'd like to say right now, Dave?
Well,
do it.
Try this service out. Give it a shot.
Let
me know how you like it.
I like that. Absolutely. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Wow. We've got two already, Derek.
It's going good, Bob. About the VTS program, one of the big initiatives here is just, again, getting out into the community. We work with some community partners like Myers and Cabela's, and they gave us spots to have pickup locations for our veterans.
Oh, okay.
So, if you go to Dundee, to the Cabela's, there is a spot there where our routes will come by and pick up veterans.
Now, one of the things that you talked about earlier were the service clinics that were not part of the actual hospital. Will this be available for them? Will this also take them to the service clinics?
Absolutely. So the Flint community-based outpatient clinic.
Okay.
The pickup site is right there in front of the clinic. So veterans, if they need to come down to Ann Arbor for, let's say, specialty care, they could go to the Flint CBOC and just wait for the shuttle to come pick them up.
Right, but the transportation will come to your home,
There's
service.
Designated pickup locations where veterans need to go, and then they get picked up at that designated
location. Okay, not necessarily will they come to the home.
Right.
Okay.
So there's basically a bus stop in the community, such as a Myers or something of that nature, and they come and they meet there, and the shuttle picks them up, takes them to their appointment, and then brings them back later in the afternoon.
Okay. Well, we're moving right along, and Nina, I'm going to go to line one for Sean Dowling for the Healthcare for Homeless Veterans. Sean, welcome to Veterans Radio. Nope. She's not on one. Okay, let's go right to line three. And Melody Powers from the Veterans Justice. Melody, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, how are you?
Ah, we connect. I love it. We're doing fine. It's cold. Where are you at?
I'm in Chicago right now.
Oh, I bet it's cold there too, right?
It's beautiful.
Ah, that's exactly right. That's the way that we all handle the winter here in the Midwest. Tell us a little bit about the Justice Program.
Well, the Veterans Justice Outreach Program is one in which I provide outreach to court systems, probation officers, police officers, and just let them know the services that are available for veterans. And it is a national program. There is one Veterans Justice Outreach worker at each hospital facility. And if the court system is willing to partner with the VA. We are certainly able, and we provide services for veterans and then partner with the courts in supporting veterans and following through and being successful in that treatment.
Well, I know, but I'm thinking, what qualifies you as a veteran to be able to receive this justice outreach? I mean,
the program,
is it for a divorce, or what exactly law problems is it that you folks work with? What is the criteria?
Well, we can work with veterans of any era, but I think where this position came about was because we were finding veterans returning from combat in Iraq and Afghanistan coming into contact with the law. And so what I have found across the board is that court systems really want to support our veterans, and they really want to see veterans in treatment as opposed to in our court systems or in jail. And so the judges and probation officers are often seeking out treatment, and I am willing to go in and just offer what we have available and then to coordinate with the courts and to report back to the courts at times on if veterans are actually coming in and getting the treatment that they need.
Well, I'm still a little bit confused as to what is the treatment that you folks provide. Why don't you clarify that on this justice outreach?
Yes. We can provide mental health treatment, treatment for PTSD, substance abuse treatment, medical treatment, basic social work, homeless prevention. If someone doesn't have basic needs, we can help them find them either through the VA or through resources in the community. So really, my job is to go in and do an assessment about what this veteran's needs are and then to put those things in place.
Okay. Now, PTSD, that's a big, big, big area. That's a big subject. What is it specifically that you do with PTSD?
I can provide an assessment for a veteran, and if he or she is struggling with symptoms of PTSD, such as being very hypervigilant, being on guard, having difficulty at work, having difficulty in interpersonal relationships, I can make an initial assessment and then schedule them within our PTSD clinic. They will receive a full evaluation from a psychiatrist and a psychologist, and then services will be put in place around that veteran, around what their needs are.
And how do you, I still want to know how do you coordinate this with justice outreach? I'm not sure how the word justice fits in.
Sometimes a judge will call me and say that they have someone that they're concerned about, and can I come in and do an assessment and give them services? Sometimes it's probation officers. Sometimes it's jails where someone's been there a night or two, and they want to make sure someone has services before they release them. There's really a community effort to support our veterans, and I think there is a real concern in the justice system that veterans are getting the treatment they deserve, and that's kind of my job, where I link up with the court systems and make sure veterans are getting what they need through the VA.
I know. We always seem to think of military people bite the bullet, right? I'm looking here at my colleagues, right? Is that right? They're all shaking our head. But it's not that way. They need to have some assistance. And if somebody knows of a veteran, or you are a veteran, what can they do with their local VA? What can they do to access this program?
Well, I guess I want to reinforce that often is veterans who are very strong and who feel like they do need to bite the bullet and they do need to just kind of get through this, that are most, I think, that take advantage of this program the most. Because once there are legal problems, a veteran can't kind of deny that there are issues. And so they can call me directly, and I am more than willing to provide assessments and get people in for treatment at our Ann Arbor VA, at any other facility, at our local CBOX. I partner with staff internally at the VA as well to provide those assessments and get people the care they need.
Okay. Melody, thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio. We're coming at the halfway point, the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You get to the top, get hooked in, and then you look over the edge. I was like, no way am I jumping off this tower. I'm staying right here. I'm like, am I ever going to be good enough to be a Marine? When it was all said and done, watching the car guard raise the American flag, I thought, I am a United States Marine.
PFC Keith Falka knows you don't join the Marines, you become one. Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES.
Okay, folks, we're here at Veterans Radio. We want to talk about one of our sponsors, and that would be U.S. Wings. U.S. Wings. Dale?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my partner, Dale Thronberg. How you doing, man? You're in the other studio, right?
Yes, we are having a swell time over here.
Yes, you are. Keep the phones humming, man.
We got them going. We've got a busy program today, and it's really, I think the U.S. Wings will be real happy that they're sponsoring Veterans Radio with all the information that we're distributing today.
That's right. And, well, you've been to U.S. Wings. What were some of the impressions that you had?
Well, I think the one thing I really noticed was the professionalism of the company in it. In its entirety, from Sergeant Hack all the way down to the clerks inside of their retail store down there in Hudson, Ohio. I think it was it's just so impressive what Sergeant Hack has been able to accomplish with that, with the manufacturing of the finest leather flight jackets in the world.
Oh, they
today.
Are. They are.
And all the other things that he's
doing. And it's the real deal, too, folks.
Oh, I know. These are the real ones.
They are the real. They actually get the patterns from the Navy, from the Air Force, from the Army. So we're not talking about knockoffs here. We're talking about the actual jackets because they're being used by those very service organizations.
Absolutely. And they are available to the public to purchase. And we've heard stories about, you know, people in the entertainment industry that like to buy them for their friends in large numbers. But these are, man, I'll tell you, I'd do anything to get one of these jackets. They are... of the finest quality. And in addition to all the other things that U.S. Wings offers on their website at uswings.com, I mean, you could spend all day on their website.
Oh, you could just have a good
stuff.
Time, folks.
And it's just not, you know, it's not just for civilians, but the military, I mean, not just for military, but for civilians as well.
Civilians, too.
And you can get anything you need from the leather jacket down to the P-38 camera.
P-38, right? I'm looking here at a couple Marines, right? You still got yours? The P-38. How about you, Derek?
I think they blow them open these days. You know, they have these MREs.
Oh, that's right. They wouldn't know what a P-38.
No, they didn't have to open up a can.
They're shaking their heads. Oh, that's a can opener. And you got one with every C-ration box?
That's true.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. He's got his right now. He's prepared. He's a Marine, man. Okay, uswings.com. Go on their website. Give them a look-see, and if you happen to give them a call, tell them Veterans Radio sent you. Okay, we're back on Veterans Radio with the VA and you. I know there's a lot of information that's being given to you. How about that, Derek? Hmm?
Yes.
Is this your first time being on the radio?
Yes, it is.
How do you like it?
I'm loving it. This is great. You know, we got so many programs that we just want to get out there. On the Veteran Justice Outreach, just one thing I'd like to throw in there is that one of the things that Melody does is she goes around to the different courts and judges throughout the state, and she's instrumental in setting up these veteran treatment courts. And that's been one of our big successes thus far with the program is that some veterans that may have some legal issues, they can go through this veteran treatment court, and instead of going to jail, they can do this program 1 or 2 years, however long it will be, in coordination with care at the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system. And then at the end of their time in this program, their charges could get waived. And recently we had about 10 graduates from the Novi treatment court, and it was just absolutely phenomenal, and that's one of the big successes of that Veteran Justice Outreach Program.
Okay. Well, folks, you're hearing it right now on Veterans Radio. By the way, if you have a question, it's 1-877-573-7825. 1-877-573-7825. Well, I'm going to go right into, and I know this is going to be probably a pretty good interview that we're doing, healthcare for homeless veterans. And I have with me Sean Dowling in line one. Sean, welcome to Veterans Radio. Oh, there she is. Sean.
Yes.
Yeah, where am I calling right now?
You're calling Toledo, Ohio.
Toledo, Ohio. Buckeye State. Okay, you are the healthcare coordinator for homeless veterans. Boy, that's a big subject. Tell us more about that. Wow.
Well, as you know, the VA has a coordinated effort to end homelessness among veterans by 2014. And we have been very fortunate to nationally to be able to work really hard to reduce homelessness over the last 12 months. We found a decrease in homeless veterans by 12%. And locally, we are working very, very hard to reduce homelessness among our veterans in the state of Michigan.
Now, homelessness, how do you find the homeless people to work with?
Well, we find homeless veterans in a number of different ways. Our primary way is to do outreach in the community. So we're literally in different counties in the state of Michigan, working with food pantries, homeless shelters, walking under streets, bridges, overpasses, seeking out homeless veterans. We also have a national call center for homeless veterans.
Well, why don't you give us that? Can you give us that? Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. It's 1-877-424-3838. This is a call center that's manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and allows our veterans to call in, report their situation, whether they're homeless or precariously housed or at risk of homelessness. And then they're connected with a local provider from our program, and we work with that veteran from that phone call to assist them in becoming housed or getting access to resources so that they're no longer at risk of homelessness.
I understand that you actually give chits so that they can have some help with their rent, right, or their actual housing. Is that correct?
So the VA has a supported housing program in collaboration with the Housing and Urban Development Department. And we have an opportunity for our veterans to access subsidized housing through a project choice voucher, meaning the veteran can choose where they live, and they only pay 30% of their income goes towards their rent.
What income? If they're homeless, what income would that be?
Well, you know, it's an assumption that a number of people who are homeless don't have an income, and in fact they do. It's just difficult to find affordable housing when you have a fixed or limited income. So if a veteran has zero income, then they pay zero towards their housing.
Okay. And how long is this housing available to them, this subsidy?
Their lifetime.
Wow. And is this funded?
Is this going to be funded
in the future?
Yes. Once the vouchers are issued to our local housing authorities, the vouchers are there for life. Where the funding comes from is Congress directly allocates funds for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And the VA's part in it is we provide supported housing assistance through case management in the veteran's home to assist that veteran with maintaining their housing.
And then if that veteran needs hands-on care, et cetera, transportation, as I'm looking at my guests here, that would also be coordinated for them. Is that correct?
That is correct. We work out of a housing first model, Bob, and that means that the veteran doesn't have to do anything in order to meet criteria for the program. What the veteran needs to do is simply be homeless or at risk of homelessness. And we place them right into the voucher, into their own apartment. And then if there's issues that were leading that veteran to be homeless, such as
an untreated mental health issue or a substance abuse issue. And we work once they're housed with that veteran to address those issues in order to maintain their housing.
Now, you gave us a number, see if I got it right, 877-424-8338. Is that correct?
It's 1-877-424-3838.
3838, okay. And that is a national number?
Yes, that is a national hotline that a veteran can call 24 hours a day, 365 days a week, and they're going to talk with a trained professional who can answer their questions and get them connected up with a local program such as our program.
How long have you been doing this, Sean?
I've been working with homeless adults and families for 22 years. I've been with the VA since 2007, and it's an absolute honor to serve our homeless veterans.
Are you a vet?
No, I am not.
Do you have any vets in your family?
Oh, yes. My grandfather fought in World War II, and I have an uncle who's a Vietnam veteran.
So you can kind of speak from the heart, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I'm getting some nods here from my guests, too, in the studio. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to invite you to call us. Oh, do we have what? Dale? What do we have right here?
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in with a question or a comment that we got on the phone earlier, is that we're talking about veterans at risk here. We're not talking about the entire veterans community out there, but these are the people that we've determined that we're going to continue to help throughout their lives. These are the guys that had our backs when we were in the service, and we've got their backs now. So I just want to kind of, alleviate the concern out there that we're talking about, you know, all 25 million veterans. We're talking about it's a large number, but it's not that big compared to all of them. So I just wanted to get that out.
Thank you, Dale. Yes, I feel the same way about the homeless population. That squeegee person that's cleaning out your windshield just may be a veteran. And how many veterans, PTSD, etc., are suffering, and they have become homeless, and even through financial, with all the foreclosures that we have today. Well, Sean, thank you very much for being on the program.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Bob.
There she is. And again, you feel free to give us a call. You have our contact information when you want to give us an update or come on the program and just give us an overview, and so that we can keep current on this. Okay, I'm inviting you personally.
All right, thanks, Bob. I would like to say that we will hold a homeless veteran stand down in Washtenaw County on February 18th, which is a Saturday, from 8 to 4 at the VA hospital on Fuller Road.
Okay.
And if any of the listeners know of a homeless veteran or a veteran who's really struggling with their housing, we would encourage them to come out and visit with us. We will have the Veterans Benefits Administration there. We'll have local providers. Social Security applications will be taken. And we'll really looking forward to serving some of our veterans that we haven't been able to find out on the streets there in Washtenaw County.
Okay, folks, you heard it's going to be right here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Well, Derek,
moving right along.
I know. I just don't. You know, we could do an entire program on each one of these topics.
Yeah, they're so in depth, and there's so much information to it.
Well, again, this is veterans helping veterans.
Exactly.
And we talk about, well, what's the VA done for me? Well, this is it, folks. And if you know of anyone, a relative, neighbor, that put them in touch with the VA system, and let's start using our VA. It is our VA system. I know Derek is new at his position as a public affairs person, and he's just an absolute dynamo, folks. I mean, this guy, I know, he's smiling right now, but he's got that, he has that Marine charge. Let's get out there and get things done.
Absolutely, Bob, and, you know, that's our mission, you know, to get out there. We want to get out into the community. Again, I just reiterate that over and over. We're getting out to where veterans are at.
I love it. Thank you very much, Derek. We'll be right back with the Seamless Transition Program. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back on Veterans Radio. Derek, we're moving along. We still got two more, and I think we can get them all in. Hmm?
Yes, sir. I think we can. Just one thing I'd like to touch on real
Absolutely.
Quick. Absolutely. Sean brought something up that's really important, and that is at the VA, there's a lot of veterans that work there. You know, in fact, in Washington, D.C., just this last week, there was a national job fair for veterans held by the VA. And it's just, you know, we try to hire veterans, and those who aren't veterans typically have some sort of connection to a veteran, such as Sean, with her father, with her grandfather, and her uncle. So if you know, if you want to work with veterans, you can just go to usajobs.gov. You can type in Ann Arbor or wherever you're located, and you look. You can look at all the different jobs that are available at the VA.
I want to say, folks, we did a program a few weeks back. If you go to veteransradio.net, our website, and look at previous programs, our archive, there is one on jobs. That's really cool that they're holding these fairs. You know, if you need a job or know somebody, come on, folks, get off your tushies and, yeah, go out there and start looking. Those opportunities, I know what it's like to be jobless. I've been there myself, but you all got to go out there and start looking at these different programs, looking out there for jobs. I know at the various VAs, they have a coordinating person that will assist you with resume building, and Derek shaking his head, right?
Yes, absolutely, Bob. We have HR professionals that are, you know, they can help people walk through the process of applying online, and, you know, there's sometimes resume workshops, that sort of thing. So our HR professionals are out there. They're, again, in the community, oftentimes doing presentations at local libraries and different community events like that.
Okay. Well, next on the lines, let's see, seamless transition, line two, I have Sarah Nowitzki. She's the coordinator. She's an MSW, and she's with the VA here in Ann Arbor, and she's with the Seamless Transition Program. Sarah, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm very passionate about this program. It's exciting, and it's a great way to help our newest returning combat veteran. So I'm ready to talk and let you know all about our program.
Well, what is it?
All right. So the Seamless Transition Program is actually more of an umbrella term. It's actually stands for services for veterans from Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and Operation New Dawn. So you frequently throughout my talk hear me referring to it as OEF, OIF, OMD. And it's a national program, and it's been implemented back since 2003 at the beginning of the conflicts. But in 2007, VA Central Office developed care management and social work services, and at that time, they mandated that each VA have a full-time program manager dedicated to the program, and then each facility could grow that program to ensure that the newest returning veterans are getting coordinated care and make sure that specific care needs are being addressed. And so, in a nutshell, that's what we do. And then there's specific programs and functions within that that I can talk a little bit more about.
Well, but before we... I know that in talking with other returning Middle East veterans, I think that's what we'll call them, Middle East veterans, that they're reluctant. And how do you overcome that so that the seamless transition can work for them?
Sure. The best thing that we can do is do a lot of outreach. And so a lot of outreach is occurring, and that is with the local units. We do what's called post-deployment health reassessments or yellow ribbon events. And we know when those events are occurring at the local units and the VA is going out there when the veterans are coming back. So that's one way that we're letting veterans know who we are and trying to engage them in care. But in addition to that, we're working with community agencies that may be coming in contact with them, colleges, universities, the United Way, the homeless shelters, working in coordination with Sean Dowling, who is just on. We do conferences in the community, so a lot of times we're educating community providers about the needs of returning veterans. So if they're in contact with them, they know what we're doing and how to best care for them and link them into us. It can be a challenge for veterans to want to get care. Right now, there's actually 53% of returning combat veterans are actually seeking care within the VA system. So that's 47% that aren't. So this community outreach component is really important to engage them. And let their family members, a lot of this is educating family members as well, to the unique needs. And I get a lot of phone calls from family or brothers or friends that are saying, I see that my sister or my brother is having a hard time. What can I do to help support them? And so we can also provide that type of education and support to the family.
What percentage is women?
Anywhere between 9% to 12% are actually female veterans. It can vary depending on the location.
And do they have special considerations, special needs?
Well, they do. Some of the readjustment issues can affect a male or a woman. Women do have some unique special needs. There may be higher incidence of military sexual trauma.
What is that?
Well, military sexual trauma can actually affect any veteran, male or female. But while they are in the military, they may have had some type of sexual trauma or a force or threat of unwanted sex or pursuance of sex within the military. And so there may be some trauma associated with that. And we have a specific program at the VA that can help service members that are having some concerns with that issue.
But I'm sure everything's confidential, correct?
Absolutely. We screen every veteran that enters into the VA system for military sexual trauma. So we ask that as a standard question when they're coming back if that's something that that occurred to them.
Why is it called Seamless?
Well, Seamless Transition is like I said, it's an umbrella term, and what the goal is to make sure that entry into the VA system is well coordinated. There's a single point of contact or a case manager that's assigned that can ensure that they're getting the needs that are met. So they're not feeling overwhelmed with the abundance of information. When you come back from deployment, you're inundated with a lot of information. You're excited to be back. You want to get back to your family and your loved ones. But there's also a lot of VA benefits information or service-connected disability information, health care needs that are coming up. Maybe they want to go back to school or get back to work. So all of those things, all this information that's being told to them may not always be heard, or they might have a difficult time understanding it, or they're just anxious to get back home and not paying attention. So what we try to do is be that single point of contact to make sure that they have that full understanding. Even if it's not initially, 6 months down the line, if they have another question, we're there. Not all veterans, Dale had pointed out earlier in the program, that not all veterans have issues, but there are a higher incidence of readjustment concerns, traumatic brain injury, or increased psychosocial needs. And psychosocial needs are things that, things such as relationship or parenting or financial, legal or housing concerns. especially due to the economy here in Michigan. So what the case managers can do is they do that assessment in order to see what's going on in their lives and help with getting them those services.
I know that Doonesbury, I'm sure we're all familiar with Doonesbury, covered that very issue a few months back on sexual trauma being in the service. And that's why I asked that question specifically as to how much. But having a seamless transition, well, this is certainly different than Vietnam or World War II or even Korea. And I'm getting nods here by my guests here in the studio. In fact, stay on the line, Sarah, for a moment. Derek, how long is all these programs going to be funded? Is it going to in 5 years or what?
No, I mean, especially with the seamless transition program here, with the wars in Iraq and being ended and the war in Afghanistan dwindling down, we're going to see more and more veterans from that area, veterans of my generation, that will be coming into the ranks of the VA and trying to get back to civilian life. So this program, it's in place. It's going to be there. And, you know, one of the big things that Sarah mentioned are that as a part of this program is that veterans who served in Iraq or Afghanistan, they are entitled to free health care for services that could be connected to their service in Iraq or Afghanistan for 5 years. So there's just really a big push to get those vets that get out of the service and get them into the VA so that we can get that stuff taken care of.
I love it. It's called preventive, folks. Sarah, thank you very much for being on the program. Again, I offer you the opportunity to give us information, contact us again, and we will put you on the air. I want to stay focused and current on your program. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, thank you. There is a website that across the country veterans can or family members can access in order to find a local team member at the closest VA, and that's www.oefoif.va.gov, and there's a link to find the closest VA. There's an OEFOIF program manager at every VA across the country.
Thank you very much, Sarah. This is Bob Gould from Veterans Radio. Until next week, you are dismissed.